following message is from New Life Gillette series, Messianic Math. This week, Pastor Mike presents part one of this series.
So this is Thanksgiving week, and we have a lot to be thankful for. We have even when we don't realize it, the things we take for granted and the things that we struggle with that usually take a lot of our attention, we sometimes forget to stop and just be thankful for the things that so deserve our gratitude and appreciation to our Heavenly Father, to our family, to those people in our lives that sacrifice for us on a regular basis. So this week we get to say thank you for everything. Yesterday my son walked up to me holding up his middle finger. And he said, "Dad, Kellen said I have a bad finger." Kellen is one of his friends at school. And I am thankful that I had the opportunity to teach my son about what it means to hold up your... Well, I didn't give him the details about what it means. That we have to be careful with that finger. And I'm thankful for that opportunity to be his dad. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to teach him and guide him. And there's so many things like that that we regularly take for granted. And today I'm going to preach a really weird message to be preaching on a week where we're supposed to be thinking about gratitude. We're going to be talking a lot about debt, which is a weird topic to talk about on this week, except when you think about the fact that this is the last time I get to talk to you before Good Friday. So we're going to talk about debt. And it's not really one of those overly spiritual conversations, and it's not really a super emotional thing, and you're probably not going to feel healing in your soul as a result of this message, but it's not really a message we can ignore just based on the fact that Jesus talked about it and Scripture talks about it all the time. Have you ever noticed in your life when you don't have much margin how miserable your life is? I'm just coming out of one of those seasons in my life. The weeks of the last couple, there were a few weeks in the last couple months which were the busiest weeks of my life. When we were trying to get this building open up, I'm talking, no joke, 5 a.m. to midnight every single day, work, nonstop, run, mad sprint to get things done. Just a lot of stuff had to happen, and it just was not good. It was good. The result was good, and we're happy we did it. We're happy that we were able to get through it in that season. However, have you ever noticed that when you're living with no margin in your life, that you're really just borrowing from the future? You're just borrowing energy from the future. You're just borrowing money from the future. You're just borrowing time from the future because you're just running yourself ragged, whether it's in your relationships or in your time or in your energy or in your finances. You're just no margin, so you're just borrowing from the future. And that's kind of the season I feel like I'm in right now, is I'm just paying off the debt that I rung up back in those last couple of months. Like, I'm just trying to catch back up, catch my breath, get back into a healthy rhythm in life. I think my kids I think they forgot my name while we were trying to open this building up. I'm like, it's Dad. And now they know who I am again. We're just catching up. We're just there. And I understand there are seasons where we kind of have to do that, and unexpected things happen, and a lot of unexpected things happened in this building project, causing those last couple months to be so terrible. And unexpected things happen, but we have to, in our lives, find rhythms and habits and develop patterns and boundaries in our life that keep us from getting to those unhealthy places. We're starting a new series today called Messianic Math. And we're talking about different areas in our life where God's way of doing the math in certain situations is just different than the way the world does them. It seems upside down to the world to do things the way God told us to do them sometimes. Next week, we're going to talk about cancel culture. So it's not all about debt. This is just the first week. Next week, we're going to talk about something different. We're just going to talk about what does God say in different areas of our lives about how to do math. And today, we're going to just happen to talk about finances. Specifically, we're going to talk a lot about debt because Jesus said this: "Who would begin to construct the construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Who would start building without doing the math? Now we're doing some messianic math. We're calculating if we can afford to do what we want to do, or if we can afford to do what we think we need to do. In our lives, we do it on a regular basis, every single day. We do it on small levels, big levels. I want to eat at Sapporo, but I have $10, so I guess I'm eating at McDonald's. I don't even know if you can eat at McDonald's anymore for $10. But Jill Stengel says it like this. Income minus outgo equals exactly zero. Then what's he say? Trademark. He trademarked that phrase, so you have to say that every time he says it. In other words, what you make should determine what you spend. The amount that you earn should equal the amount that you spend or save or give, outgo. And if you look at the past 100 years of our country's history, you start to realize that the problem is our grandparents did not know this. Our grandparents started using debt in a whole new way that the world had not seen before. They started using debt as a way of life, as a way of interacting. For some of us, it was grandparents. Some people, it was great-grandparents, whatever. But they thought that this debt could actually make their lives better, that this debt would actually add to their life. And so they started using it every single day as a way of life. But the lesson that they eventually learned as they got older was that income minus outgo plus plastic equals a habit that you can't break. It just keeps creeping up on you. Debt as a way of life for them and for many of us just becomes the easy way out. Take the easy way out. I can get this done if I just do this. And I know it's not the best way to do it. I know it's not the right way to do it, but this is the easy way out. And the easy way out always comes back to haunt us. Because no one sets, I want to be in crazy debt as a goal in their life. But they take shortcut after shortcut, and eventually, that's where it leads us. For our grandparents, it looked a little bit like this. Back in 1885, and that would be more than just my grandparents, but 1885, they started to develop these paper loyalty cards. It was pretty much just, you go into a store and you can pretty much store credit kind of thing. And then in 1928, they came up with this metal charge-a-plate card, and it was very much a step toward the credit card idea, then the Diners Club card. Then in 1959, we had our first plastic credit card. In 69, it added magnetic strips to it. It just got easier and easier, more and more simple to just go into debt. If you make it easy and convenient, then debt just becomes irresistible. Then the banks got involved and it just spiraled out of control because we know what their motivations are like. And now we weren't just slaves to the general store down the street. Now we're slaves to some big banker in New York. We have lost our freedom to somebody we don't even know. We are their slaves, trying to pay them back, trying to make up for what we borrowed yesterday. So I laugh when I see something like this. This is the Chase Freedom card. As in, they'll chase you down and rob your freedom. But over time, thanks to people like Dave Ramsey and Joe Sengel and a lot of other wise advisors in our life, maybe it was your parents, maybe it was somebody when you were at college, somebody eventually pointed out to you, hey, just to let you know, debt catches up to you. It'll rob your joy. It will steal your freedom. So for those of us who had that kind of wise advice, we were told to do what? Make a plan. Make a financial plan or a budget. Come up with a way to make sure that you don't get into that hole that so many people dig themselves into. So let's move on to this passage that Jesus is in Luke. He says, otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Otherwise, if you can't afford to finish the building you started building, which we kind of felt like we were getting close there during the pandemic, everyone will laugh at you. Can you imagine if we would have built part of the foundation of our new additions, and then we're like, well, out of money. Guess we got some cool new foundations we're going to have let kids play in. And do you know why Jesus cares about your reputation? Jesus actually cares if people laugh at you. And he cares about what people think about you because you represent him. We are Christ's ambassadors. If we call ourselves a Christian, if we call ourselves a Christ follower, then people assume that we do the things that Christ told us to do. And if our way of life does not work, then they assume that Jesus' instructions do not work. You represent Jesus for better or for worse, and we all do that sometimes better than others. But if we have a bad reputation, then so does he. We can't be a part of that, right? Our goal is to bring glory to God, to lead people to him. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. They'd mock you. Let's talk about something that's worth mocking. This is where it gets a little sad. Did you know that the average American spends $8,000 in interest every year? That's how much money most of us, on average, are giving to banks to pay off what we did yesterday. That's a part-time job. I don't know how much money you make, but $8,000, that would make me more poor. That takes a big chunk out of my bank account. The banks are taking a huge chunk of our paychecks, and we're not really getting anything for it. We're just taking care of yesterday's shortcuts. We have got to get intense about getting out of debt. Scorched earth tenacity. And I understand that I'm not saying all debt is bad debt. And I understand you needed to get into a house. And I'm more talking about spending debt and things like that. But for every person, it's different. But it's time to take inventory. Because eventually we start to learn that the borrower is servant to the lender. If you borrowed money for a car, sell it. If you are borrowing $10,000 every year for an education you're not quite sure how you're going to use, drop out of school. Go to a community college. Find a cheaper way. If you borrowed money for a boat or a camper, sell them. Debt just doesn't work for those kind of things. Go through your house. What can I sell? I'm going to sell the couch. I'm going to sell the whatever. I'm going to sell the kids. Is trampoline. They're trampoline, not the kids. It's very hard to live like Christ when we are in debt. It's very hard to live like Christ when we spend like Mike. I think that's a better phrase. Now, unless you make like Mike, you probably shouldn't spend like Mike. I have no idea if Mike is in debt or not. It was just fun when I was growing up to tell everybody that they want to be like Mike. Did you know that over 75% of, and I don't know if this is true or not because it seems unrealistic, but I read it in two different newspapers, so it must be true. Did you know that over 75% of NFL players declare bankruptcy within 2 years of retiring from the NFL? Now, I don't know how much money you make, but most NFL players make quite a bit more money than I make, and they go bankrupt within 2 years of retiring from the NFL. Why? It's not an issue of how much we make. It's an issue of how much we spend compared to how much we make. They make tons of money, but debt became a way of life. I'm always just taking the easy way out. I'm pushing it to tomorrow. And Scripture would tell us time and time again that as a Christian, we should learn to hate debt. I don't want to be a slave. Debt will make your life worse. And we say all the time that Jesus makes your life better. We say all the time that Jesus will make you better at life. So debt cannot be consistent with that. But it gets even worse. Let's do some of this messianic math, this calculating that Jesus tells us to do. Over the past 10 years, the average annual stock market return is 9.2%. Now, I understand that some decades are worse and some decades are better. Every decade, there's a growth in some way. So not only are you spending $8,000 a year on interest, you are not investing that $8,000 that a year that you used on interest, and that investing that money turns out to a much larger loss than just $8,000. But why? Okay, I think now we have to talk about the why, because now it just looks like I'm being greedy and I'm being this a prosperity gospel guy that just wants you to all be rich. I actually think that living a prosperous life, to thrive financially, is actually a good step toward becoming who God created us to be. Why? Because we are all on a mission. We have all been called to something. And debt almost always keeps us from fully giving ourselves to the mission that God called us to. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." Eventually, debt, it'll start to take your attention away from God. When you're living paycheck to paycheck, trying just to make your debt payments, then money begins to consume your time. It consumes your energy. Debt enslaves us. And we don't even realize it because this is just what people do, right? And we don't actually see what it's costing us. What are the opportunity expenses? What are the opportunity costs of our debt? You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And this isn't about wealth. It's about being useful to God. God put us in this world to accomplish something, to pursue a goal. He created us for a mission, and debt makes us less useful to Him in fulfilling that mission. When we work today to pay for what we bought yesterday, we're focused on the past instead of on the future. But when we thrive financially, then we have enough for life, and then we have enough left over to give away, to give extravagantly even. There are people in this congregation who decided early on in their lives that they were going to live financially healthy lives, and now they are able to give extravagantly. What most in the world would look at and just say, that is not smart, that is not intelligent, but they have recognized that it is a better life. That giving 10% to tithe is just kind of the first step. That's just kind of where they start each month. And then they give extravagantly. Because our goal isn't wealth. Our goal is freedom. And it's freedom for missional advancement. So that God's fame, so that God's love, so that God's goodness will be spread around the world by our actions. Remember, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So don't just get out of debt so that you have money. Get out of debt so that you can do something. Jesus taught us to get out of debt because He wants us to thrive in our mission. Have you ever had a dream? Like a goal, like something God put on your heart or something that you just want? You ever had it? Maybe like this?
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
That kid wants to know if you've ever had a dream. That's what he was asking. Have you ever had a dream? I think you can tell a lot about yourself by the dreams that you have, the goals that you set for yourself. So what are your dreams? Maybe it's an awesome vacation. Maybe it's a bigger truck. Maybe it's early retirement.
I want to be like Mike.
That's a good dream. That's a good dream. A lot of these things, I think, as we look around to people who have gotten those things and then wonder, now what? The bigger house sure looked pretty, but what, then what? What is this leading me to? What ends up happening is we all just end up climbing a mountain of stuff. We get to the top of the mountain and we've climbed hard and we've worked hard and we want to get up there and we want to celebrate the success that we've had. And then we get up there and we're like, what am I going to do with all this? And even when we get up there, we realize that the view up here isn't that nice because we feel like we're just standing on a mountain of debt, on a mountain of loss. And then we look off the edge. Eventually we get to the place where we want to keep climbing, but we can't keep climbing anymore because I fulfilled my goals. I got to where I wanted to get, and now I realize there's not much after this. So if I can, I'd like to get really practical here before we end. And I want to talk about how each of us can get down safely off of this mountain that most of us find ourselves up on. Dave Ramsey calls the safe way down, or the best way down, the debt snowball. If I can, I'd like to show you how it works. After college, Darcy and I moved to Kansas to start a church. I made almost no money, and I lived in my brother Billy's basement on an inflatable mattress for 3 years. I'm glad he let me live down there so that I wasn't homeless, but it was miserable. And we made like no money. And after being in Kansas for a little while, Darcy and I got married. Darcy had a bank job, and so she made a lot more money than I did. Still didn't make that much, but she made more money than I did. And we started thinking, okay, it's time to start our lives. And so we did what new married couples did, and we go out and bought a house, and we traded in our cars and upgraded a little bit. We remodeled the house. We put everything on credit cards, but the house looked great. And we pursued, I don't know what it was that we thought we were pursuing, but we wanted to have what our parents have now, but we wanted to have it in the beginning of our relationship, and so we just went crazy. On top of all that, we had a bunch of school debt that we had just started paying on and had never really made payments on that before because they let you delay that stuff. So we're just drowning in debt. And all of a sudden, these bills start coming in, and we start realizing we can't even pay the minimums. Like, we planned on paying these things off when we got done with the project, but now we're realizing we don't even have enough money in the bank to pay for the smallest amount they're telling us that we can pay for. And we realize something has got to change. Some of you are in that place today. You're realizing this isn't okay. That $8,000 number that you said most people spend on interest, that's not nothing compared to what I'm spending on interest. Because right now, your payments on your debt are really just all going to interest. And so at some point, you just kind of say, something's got to change. And that's where we were at. And we actually signed up for Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class. And so we went to that class, and he started talking about how nice it'd be to be free financially. And he started talking about how dumb debt is. And we started getting excited and we went crazy. Darcy and I went nuts. We started selling stuff. We picked up extra jobs here and there. We went crazy. Our friends didn't recognize us. They're like, hey, ready to go to a movie? We're like, we don't spend money. Okay, we need new friends. Mike and Darcy are weird now. We were weird, very weird for a while as we rolled this debt snowball down the hill. Our debt in those days looked a little bit like this. I don't remember the exact numbers. I'm trying to rack my brain and remember it. This is This is something like the debt that we had in those days, not including the house. We didn't want to get out of that. But so this was the thing that Dave Ramsey told us to do. He said the first thing you got to do is you got to find $200 a month. So either that's through selling things or taking extra shift at work or finding a second job or something. Find $200 extra every month, and you take that $200 and you combine it with the minimum payment of your smallest debt. Combine $200 with the minimum payment of your smallest debt, and you put that toward your smallest debt every month, and you keep paying until it's eventually paid off. Well, when you add $200 to the $50 minimum payment that we were supposed to make on this Home Depot credit card, well, we actually paid off that Home Depot credit card pretty fast. And then he says, okay, now you take the $250 you were putting towards Home Depot, and you add that to the minimum payment of the next largest debt, that Visa card that we put the carpet in with, and then you add $30 minimum payment to their $150 or $250 a month. You add those together, you start paying $280 on that Visa card. Pays off pretty fast. Well, this snowball, you can tell, is getting bigger, because the next month we have $280 a month to put towards the next minimum payment, this $200 loan that we had taken from my parents, and we're paying them off. That's low, zero interest. So we're putting that together with that debt, and we're paying it off fast. And you can see how this snowball gets larger and larger, that by the end, we're making $1,110 payments on our largest debt, and we crushed it. We rolled this snowball down that hill, and we got out of debt way faster than Dave Ramsey's debt calculator said we could. But the first step in doing that was not just coming up with $200 and not just selling stuff, but stop buying stuff. Like, go crazy and lose your lifestyle. Eat ramen every single day. And we did. And we went crazy. If we would have made the minimum payment, it would have taken us 10 years to pay off the debt that we had. So if we would have just made the minimum payment, and we couldn't afford them anyway, if we would have just made the minimum payment on all those debts, it would have taken us 10 years. If we didn't buy anything else and no cars broke down, it would have taken us 10 years to pay them off. But with the debt snowball, Dave Ramsey's calculator said it would take us 18 months, I think it said. But we went crazy, and we did more than what he said, and we actually ended up paying off all that debt in 1 year. And I did the math. For us, Mike and Darcy, the difference was $153,992.30. Because what happened with the $1,110 after we paid off that last debt? We started investing that money. And those investments grew. So in the 10 years that would have taken us to pay off all those debts, we decided instead we're going to start investing the money we would have been putting towards that debt, and it changed our lives. Today, that decision that we made, how long have we been married? She's not over there. I should know that. That decision that we made back then changed our life back then, and it has changed our life back, or all the way to today. Now, I'll be honest with you, because we've got the extra money left over, I probably spend now like I shouldn't spend. I justify it because we're generous. We're very generous people. We give away a large percentage of our income, and so I justify too many spends. But I can. Why? Because I'm free. I am debt. I'm enslaved to nobody. And you can be too. You just got to get crazy about it. You got to start today, and you've got to decide, my heart needs to change. Because so much of our life, our heart is consumed with seeking after this consumerism that the world says will fulfill you, and looking a certain way and having certain things. And we're still looking for our fulfillment in people. If you're still trying to impress people or trying to have the right toys and looking for fulfillment in those things, then the issue is not a spending issue. The issue is a heart issue. You're still not looking to God to give you what you really need. That's why I'm a huge fan of the Financial Peace University and the Dave Sangles. I was debt, now I'm, I was broke, now I'm not classes, because what they do is they talk to you about, it's not just about spending money. They talk to you about your heart issue. What is causing, what is the root cause of this spending? Next semester, we're doing another Financial Peace University life group. If you've not ever done this, or if you did it and it didn't stick, do it again and take the Financial Peace University life group. You can do that by texting our church number. You can text anything you want. Karen will respond. But text FPU to 307-682-5642. We're doing a life group that you need to sign up to. It will motivate you. It will give you energy where you don't have energy. Because Paul says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. It's blatantly there all through Scripture. This doesn't seem like a spiritual message, and this doesn't seem like something we should talk about in church, except for the fact that it's all through Scripture. Because what they're telling us is that if you are enslaved to money, if money has your heart, or if stuff has your heart, or if this world has your heart, then you cannot become who God created you to be. And Jesus makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life. So if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, here it is. Actually, don't even wait that long. Start today. And when you go shopping on Black Friday, just leave the cards in your wallet. God, I thank you for being practical with us. God, I thank you that you've given us some instructions that are not easy, but that turn out to make our lives better. So God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful and courageous and pursuing you with all of our hearts. God, I pray that if there's anybody here today who's feeling guilt as a result of this message, that you would take away that guilt and you would turn it into passion and excitement and energy and something useful. Help us to be more like you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.